Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Let's go! Batter up! We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game. For a ball game today. The fans are out to get...
Oh man, do I miss baseball. Hearing that song, oh my... I really do, I miss baseball. And is there life after baseball? Starting from this very simple question, the new book, The Wax Pack... On the Road of Baseball's Afterlife, ends up with something much bigger and unexpected. It's the story of a young man who took a single pack of baseball cards from 1986, the first year he collected cards, opened it, chewed the nearly 30-year-old gum inside, gagged, and then embarked on this quest to find all the players in the pack. He took this trip solo in the summer of 2015, spanning 11,341 miles through 30 states in 48 days, from Rick Sutcliffe to Carlton Fisk. Pretty cool. Tonight, Brad Blukchian, who is the author, joins us to share that journey. Good evening, Brad.
Good evening. How are you?
I am fantastic. You know, collecting baseball cards in and of itself is one of America's greatest pastimes. But what was it that made you curious enough to travel across the country and interview each and every player in one of your packs?
Well, I realized that the guys that I grew up in the 80s collecting their cards, you know, I never really stopped thinking about these guys. And I was kind of an unusual kid in that my favorite players were the underdog types, the journeymen, the bench warmers, and you know, instead of the star players. And I always just was wondering that theme of where are they now? You know, what happened to these guys once they were done playing? So I thought, what better way to answer that question than to get a random sample through a single pack of cards. So I thought, you know, it's kind of just a fun idea that you're constrained by whatever random 15 guys are in a pack that had never been opened for all these years. And, you know, I thought it would be even better. Baseball is just very much something, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with a road trip. And I thought, yeah, you know, what better way to do this than to actually get on the road and try to find these guys in person.
It's really perfect timing, too, because I think everybody, you and I included, are missing baseball right now. So it's a great story to connect to. Was this a pack? Like, where'd you find it, Brad? Like, where was it?
Yeah, well, so a lot of people back in the late 80s saved their packs of baseball cards thinking they were going to be worth something someday. You know, didn't even open them.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that hard to find on eBay or, you know, online from collectors. And they're not that extensive. So I just was able to get a pack, you know, for a few bucks on eBay, and pack that had been sealed for almost 30 years. And that set me on my way.
There was a gentleman that I was just reading an article this morning that died in March at age of 97. And he had a collection. I don't know if you saw this, of rare and valuable sports memorabilia. And he had a signed baseball card of Babe Ruth, and he had a collection of more than 1,000 vintage cards and collectible items, which are now going up for auction. Family had really, they knew he collected cards, but the signed 1933 Ruth card alone is expected to sell for more than $100,000, and they think this entire collection is worth millions. Like, the family just knew, Grandpa collects that. You know, that's great. It's worth, I mean, this is a business.
Yeah, no, and I mean, a lot of people back in the 80s put their kids through college selling baseball cards. You know,
so
it was this huge boom back then. And then, of course, it's kind of a, you know, just a fascinating case study in basic economics and supply and demand. I mean, the card industry, the bubble burst in the mid to late 90s. And now, you know, it's come back a little bit. But yeah, the stuff that's way back, you know, back in Babe Ruth's era, that stuff will probably always be very valuable.
Well, I love the concept of this book as soon as I saw it, because many, I'm sure, have thought, I wonder where all these players are today. What are they doing? But you actually did it, which is so cool. Let's talk a little bit about, okay, you opened up the pack. What were you expecting?
Well, the fun thing about the pack is that it captured or reminded me of that thrill that's all too rare in society today, of just that each individual surprise in a pack, you know, not knowing who you're going to get, and the reveal as you flip through. That was the whole point, was I didn't know what to expect. I mean, I knew that just because the guys that I liked were underdog types, that they would be more common than the star players, which is something I liked. I knew that I'd be able to write about a bunch of the guys that were not the stars, because they're just more common. But other than that, you know, I didn't really know what to expect.
Rick Sutcliffe was one of the ones in there, of course, famous Chicago Cub. Let's talk about some of the others that were in the pack.
Sure. Well, and again, you get a nice random sample. So it ranges from Hall of Famers like Carlton Fisk and, you know, star players like Sutcliffe, all the way down to really obscure people like Jaime Coconauer, who played only four seasons for the Brewers and probably no one remembers. And everything in between, there's Gary Templeton, Richie Hebner, Lee Mazzilli, Rance Mullenix. So I mean, a lot of guys that had long careers and, you know, kind of symbolic of that era in the 70s and 80s.
So now you're looking through all the cards, you see all the players, you know who's around. How do you start this journey? How do you even say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going to go? How did you reach out to these people? What were the first steps, Brad?
Yeah, it's a lot of kind of talking yourself up and getting the courage to just make a lot of cold calls. Because, you know, the thing was, I'm a freelance writer and a biology professor, but in my writing career, I usually write about science. So it's not like I had a sports pedigree, a sports writing pedigree to fall back on. So it was really as simple as, you know, subscribing to some online databases, finding people's landline phone numbers, writing letters, snail mail letters, following up with phone calls or emails, and just really just kind of becoming an investigative reporter or a researcher to track these guys down. But I put in a good 10 months in advance of the trip to try to find all the guys and get them to commit to talking to me. And even then, not all of them would.
Yeah, so. Did they get it? Did they get what you were trying to do?
I was pleasantly surprised that most of the guys were at least willing to talk to me. I don't know if they fully grasped, you know, how crazy the idea was until I was sort of face to face with them and it became real. But you know, in general, the guys, especially the guys that were not as famous, were more accommodating. And then the biggest stars were, you know, the most challenging, as I expected.
You know, when you open the pack, what player did you find that you said, yes, like you were excited about that one was in the pack?
Well, this will probably resonate with no one. But so, again, back to my being a kind of a weirdo as a kid, my favorite player was a guy named Don Carmen, who pitched for the Phillies in the late 80s. And, you know, this sort of a middle-of-the-road journeyman-type guy. But he was my guy. So when he was in the pack, that was my big eureka moment. You know, much more than Dwight Gooden or Carlton Fisk or the guys that were the big stars.
You know, what was their reaction, you know, as far as, like, who was the first person you actually spoke to, Brad?
A guy named Rance Mullenix, played for the Blue Jays for many years. I live out in Oakland, California. He lives in the Central Valley in Visalia, about 3 hours away. And he actually was a good guy to start out with because he was so accommodating and down to earth. And I went and met up with him at his baseball academy and got to actually get a hitting lesson from him. And I mean, that was one of the fun things about the book, that really made it very participatory. I mean, I'm an active character in the book, and it's very much a narrative, creative nonfiction type of book. So I do a lot of different things with these guys. I got the hitting lesson. I went to the zoo with one guy.
I know, that was
went
great.
To an art museum with one guy, lifted weights, watched kung fu movies, went bowling. I mean, I did all these different activities, which I think makes the book a lot more entertaining.
Yeah. Were you nervous for that first one? Did you warm up as you went on and met all these other players, or were you nervous for each one because it was just different?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be those nerves. And I think I got a little more comfortable as I went. I mean, one guy, the guy was saying Jaime Coconauer, he went so far as to invite me to his house for a 4th of July barbecue. I mean, sight unseen. So, it was pretty cool the way that a lot of these guys welcomed me in. And again, the most surprising thing in a good way was how open these guys were about some really personal stuff. And, you know, the book really is not about baseball as much as bigger themes that we can all relate to. And one of them being vulnerability, and how I was really blown away by how vulnerable these guys were willing to be in talking about abusive fathers and alcoholism and drug addiction and divorces. And I mean, all these things that really show you that they're not that different from the rest of us. I mean, that they're dealing with the same things that we deal with.
Absolutely. And we'll dig into that in a little bit. We're talking to Brad Bluchian. His new book is called The Wax Pack on the Open Road of Baseball's Afterlife. And there's more after the top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Brad Bluchian. His new book is called The Wax Pack on the Open Road of Baseball's Afterlife, traveling across the country and interviewing all the people that he found in this classic wax pack. You know, Brad, I remember not only the wax pack for baseball cards, but remember there were ones for movies and TV shows, too. I remember just getting so excited going to the store and seeing what I could bring home, right? And some I opened, and right, some you kept shut.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, the card thing is, you know, there's just so many different areas, different sports, different entertainment venues and areas. So yeah, it's a great collectible.
You were talking about the fact that the book itself, which it is, although there's baseball in it, it's a baseball story. The when it gets into the individual conversations with all these players, the conversation switches from baseball to something much deeper for each and every one of them.
That's right, Dave. You know, I really set out to, you know, they say that the best baseball books are really not about baseball, or the best sports books are not about sports. I mean, I think that's the idea, is that using the sport as a vehicle to really get into some of these deeper issues. And I was really interested in how baseball and in all sports, when you're in your mid 30s, you're basically done. You know, you can never, right, never play again. You have to retire, and there's really nothing else like that in our society, where profession wise, where you're done that young. So, and when I took the trip, I was in my mid 30s and kind of, you know, still single, no kids, not married, and kind of looking for answers. And so it was a nice parallel to be on the road on this journey and meeting up with these guys who were literally, you know, my heroes as a little kid, and now seeking out their advice and their counsel on things beyond baseball, about life in general. And, you know, now that they had some time away from the game, time to reflect, I was really amazed at the collective wisdom of a bunch of old baseball players.
That's, you know, cool.
I call them accidental Buddhists in the book, because without even realizing it, a lot of these guys are really good about living in the present moment and, you know, knowing how to live a happy life.
Well, you know, everyone's going to look in this book, too, and really resonate with people that they grew up with. Rick Sutcliffe, Chicago Cub from 84 to 91, is someone I certainly did. Share with us a little bit of that story, because what I learned about him was his relationship, or lack thereof, with his own father.
Yeah, and that was something I'd never anticipated. And, you know, Sutcliffe's just a great guy, because he's just such an open book. He's so unfiltered in such a raw, honest way. And I got to visit with him in his the area he grew up in suburban Kansas City, driving around. He took me to his grandparents' house where he grew up, and his high school, and he really confided in me and told me about how his father, who was his race car driver, ran out on the family when he was only 11 years old, and how much that impacted him in his life, but also in baseball, about how when he showed up as a draft pick for the Dodgers in the 70s, and he met guys like Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale, who some of the most intimidating guys in baseball, he said he wasn't fazed at all, because he knew he had, you know, dealt with the own damage from his father and that abandonment, that he was sort of so hardened by that experience that he channeled that anger and used it to become more intimidating as a pitcher. And you know, throw on top of that the guy's like 6 foot six on top of the mound, yeah. And you know, you're a pretty intimidating guy up on the hill there.
After that conversation with Rick and the story about his father, your father took you to games. That must have, you know, kind of resonated with you a little bit that your dad was there for you, right? I mean, it makes you think about that. Probably makes any reader that's reading this book think
sure.
about that.
Sure, and my dad actually joined me on the road for a leg of the trip, which was even more special. And there was a chapter when I meet up with Lee Mazzilli in New York. My dad comes with me, and that chapter is sort of about my relationship with my dad, which is very good. And yet, you know, like so many of us, you can have a great relationship with your parents and still have some issues. And so that chapter is about me kind of bringing some stuff up with him. And again, having the courage, taking the risk to be vulnerable and to really, you know, talk about some of these hard things.
Brad, this is Dave's producer, Curtis. I just wanted to really quickly ask you, how did your mom also play a role? Because I'm sure, you know, all the games that your dad took you to, your mom also probably had a role in helping you become a fan of baseball as well.
Yeah, and that's why I dedicated the book to her. You know, the book is very much about fathers and sons, but my mom was actually the one who drove me around to all these baseball card shops and, you know, in Rhode Island where I grew up and really indulged my interest in baseball cards and baseball as a kid. And so I, you know, I can't thank her enough for supporting that and for, you know, just sacrificing so much of her own time to indulge a kid's interest.
Did you get a sense when you were interviewing everyone, Brad, that anyone really struggled after baseball? I mean, I'm sure everyone has some type of, you know, transition that they've got to deal with, but was there any really big struggle?
I'd say it's more like that none of them did not struggle. I mean, they all struggled, you know, especially, you know, that transition period. They all dealt with a sort of an identity crisis of, you know, well, now who am I? I've spent every waking second thinking about baseball and now it's gone forever. And so it's no coincidence that a lot of these guys got divorced right after they stopped playing, or several of them had to stop drinking because, you know, that was becoming a problem. I think that was something that everyone dealt with. I would actually say that the guys that were less accomplished in baseball had an easier time making the transition. And in some ways, the book is an endorsement for the underdogs because, right, you know, the guys that maybe were not the big baseball stars actually have had a better life after baseball.
And that must have been pretty fulfilling for you because when you were watching baseball as a kid, as you mentioned, you were always all in for the underdog.
Yeah, no, I did feel, and I think I like underdogs because I was one as a kid. I talk about that in the book, being picked on as a kid and bullied. And so it did feel sort of, you know, felt vindicated by seeing how many underdogs end up, you know, doing really well.
Rick Hebner was another Chicago Cub in the book from 84 to 85, probably less known here in Chicago. So I was a little more interested in hearing about his story. Share a little bit of that with us.
Yeah, Richie Hebner played many, many years, when I caught up with him, he was still coaching, believe it or not, all these years later. He's a really interesting guy because he's still very salt of the earth, and he still, to this day, helps a buddy at a funeral home. He was a grave digger back when he was a ball player in the off season, and even now he's still driving a hearse and helping out at funerals and, you know, just kind of just a small town guy from New England who's, you know, still stayed pretty blue collar.
Now that you've done this book, are you hungry to do something else? You got something else on your mind right now, Brad?
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to just enjoy the process now that it's come out. But I have other ideas,
yeah,
that, you know, writing wise, I'd like to pursue. You know, for now, I just after 6 years of working on it, it's nice to kind of just enjoy it for a while.
Absolutely. Well, it was a cool project and a great road trip adventure. The new book is called The Wax Pack on the Open Road of Baseball's Afterlife. It's a great cover, too, by the way. I love the cover of the book. It's just so telling. Pick it up at Amazon, your local bookseller, wherever books are sold. Again, Brad, great book. Appreciate your time and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, pal.